Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 120 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, it's just me today, everybody. It's been a few weeks since you've only heard my voice, so good or bad, that's what you're stuck with this week. It's been really cool though to podcast with other people and get bounce ideas and thoughts and theories and opinions, especially off other people. And plus just having company while I podcast. But you know, I kind of like talking to myself too. So, you know, it is what it is. Next week, we are off for both shows because it's Thanksgiving, obviously. I think I'm just going to skip the week myself unless some random idea pops in my head for another episode, a different episode, Rose interview or something else. And then we'll see. But if I do skip it, then the following week is the finale of Golden Bachelor. And then like the second last to last show of Bachelor in Paradise. I'm hoping to get Miranda to recap with me on that, because for me, that's the big finale is Golden Bachelor. We have to work the details out with that. And then the following week will be Bachelor in Paradise finale. No one cares about that show, so I doubt that I have a goes for that one. And then following that will be just, between the few weeks between Christmas or sorry, the few weeks between the end and the beginning of Bachelor, Joey Bachelor, where Christmas lies, obviously. So as busy as that time of year is, I'm not really sure what I'm doing for episodes on those few off weeks. I would love to have a Rose interview or two or just some random episode, but we shall see. I'll let you know and keep you up to date. So anyway, let us get into the fantasy suites of Golden Bachelor. Wow. This was so interesting to me. And I have to admit, I sort of fell into that realm of like, ooh, gosh, I don't know if I want to see old people talking about sex. Not gonna lie. Even though I've been preaching this whole season about how these women and Gary are making me feel so good about like aging and not being scared to age, and how I totally appreciate that just because you age, you know, you can't stop thinking about things like sex or anything else that we think that older people don't think about. So, but I have to admit that I did sort of fall into that. And it was kind of funny because it seems that Jesse Palmer was the same way. So I myself appreciated that little segment at the beginning where Jesse and Gary are talking about, you know, it really was kind of like that standard talk that Jesse or in the past Chris Harrison have always had with the lead about, okay, we're going into fantasy suites. What do you think about all the women? Blah, 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 blah. So that kind of was like the standard Bachelor thing. But when Jesse asks about like fantasy suites and kind of hesitates when he asks about it, it was like, that was actually a pretty real moment that I feel like Jesse had as just a person, not a host. And then Gary makes the comment, what do you mean? Like, do people my age still knock booths? Is that what he said? Knock booths? I have to say, if that's what he said, whatever he said, I'd never have heard that term before. So if he said something different, let me know. But I'd not heard that before. But then he says, and have fun behind closed doors. And he asks, Jesse, when your parents came down the steps with an extra little spring in their step. And like the whole time Gary was saying that, Jesse was definitely cringing and like turning his head to the side, which is, I feel like, exactly what the reaction I would have if we're talking about my parents or whatever, you know, like, so I loved that. I thought that was really kind of funny that Jesse did that. And then Jesse was like, TMI, okay, like, let's like move on. And the way he laughs just felt supernatural. And I love that moment. I just really wish they would have more moments like that, because again, that's such a real moment. But then, anyway, we jump into then him talking about the women and they, and like his opinions on both. And so my initial thoughts during this was that the way he was describing Teresa was that she was definitely like the safe choice and that Leslie was more the fun, adventurous choice. So, you know, but like, personally, after this whole show, I'm just going to say up front, I really, really still want him to choose Leslie. My views of Teresa changed a little bit, which I'll address more when we get to her portion of the date, but I'm still hoping that he chooses Leslie. I feel like he just almost is more relaxed and totally himself when he's with Leslie. And maybe we're just seeing those moments again, where just seeing a fraction of his time with these women. So it's hard, but based on what I see on the TV screen, I feel like he's most himself and like silly and has fun and all of that with Leslie. Steph, I just almost said Jerry. You just heard me. I said, it's not, oh God. Okay. Gary. I'm sorry. I'm like reading my notes as I go through this. So Gary confirms that intimacy is very important from him. And then that Jesse like laughs again because he said he didn't know how to bring up sex. and again, I feel like though this is still a good thing, and I like that they included all of this in the edit, because it almost like forced the issue of normalizing sex between, again, older people. Like, you know, they don't just reach a certain age and you quit thinking about it or talking about it or feeling it or whatever. So I just kind of liked that they included this in the edit in the way that they did. I just thought it was funny, tastefully done, like made a point. It was just good. And then I got the biggest kick of how this segment ended, because it ended with Gary sitting like two bathtubs sitting on the grass, and him over like looking whatever he was overlooking. They're in Costa Rica, by the way. And he was naked, obviously. Well, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't actually naked, but it appears that he's naked sitting in a bathtub out in the grass. Okay. And then the empty bathtub is sitting next to him. And he's just like, you're like, who's going to fill the bathtub? I just thought it was hilarious. I got a kick out of it. I had to rewind it and watch it again. All right. So we get the next segment and we are at Leslie's date. She is first. And she's ITMing about how she's been married twice. I don't remember knowing this. If I did, I forgot. So she's been married twice, kind of makes it clear, like in this ITM and even going forward in the date, that she's never, I guess, had that. She's telling us she's never felt this way about either husband, I guess, and has never been able to feel more like accepted in herself and just heard and all of those things than she has with Gary. And, okay. So I have to address the hoojus, both of which, sorry, this is one thing that I'm going to say age matters on, and just don't do the hoojus. Please don't do the hoojus, because it is too freaking awkward to watch. It is too forced. 60 and 70 year old women, it's not their instinct to run to their significant other and jump on them and hug them. That is not a real thing. I don't know that that's instinctive to anyone, even if you're 20. Stop doing that. Like, it's one thing if you can pull it off and make it look like he can even hold you. And I know Gary's a bigger, like, fit guy, but it still is like the most awkward freaking thing. And even when they run to each other, it's like they're half limping when they run. Like, stop it. It's hard enough. Like, you can't fully like just run to him anyway. And oh Lord, I don't like the Hujus with the Golden Bachelor. Please eliminate them and like create some new thing that they do when they greet each other before the dates. Like, totally fine to like have some traditional thing that you do, but let's not do the Huju. Thank you. So then Leslie makes a funny comment after she like awkwardly jumps on him and then gets down and like slides down him. Like, what? Ew. It was so awkward. But she makes a funny comment that she was impressed that they found shoes to fit Gary. So, and then I paid attention later and he has huge feet. I'm not going to like go further than that because I can't think about that with old people, but no, that's hands. They say that about hands. Never. All right. Or do they say that about feet too? All right, let's stop it. I don't want to think about that. So they are rappelling for their date. And I always wonder, like in an instance like this, has Gary rappelled before? Has he had practice rappelling prior to this? Like literally like the day before or something, so that he knows what he's doing, so that he can sort of like be the anchor and support for Leslie? Because he definitely seemed like he did not, like he knew how to do this. And Leslie was definitely seemed scared, as I would have been, because they also were right next to a waterfall. And so God bless her. She handled this very well, because I feel like this is the kind of thing that's sort of like a terrifying thing to do, period, but also on TV for the first time, because you have like America watching you, and you also have this guy that you are in love with and you are wanting to sort of impress him. So you're trying not to act scared for him. You're trying not to have America watch you totally freak out and like just, you know, hang suspended in the air and have to have them like get you down. So, which is kind of great, because I guess it forces you to go outside your box and just do the thing, like just do it. But you could tell like several times she started like edging over to the waterfall and she was saying, oh no. like she wanted to just scream and go, get me down from here. But she tried to be real like calm and oh no. And God bless Gary. He was so nice. He kept going, are you all right? Are you okay? Are you okay? You're doing great. While he's just like, no problem. But she got the hang of it. She made it down. She like, you know, Gary helped her through the whole thing. It was kind of that, again, typical Bachelor thing where like he helps her through it and it sort of defines and strengthens their bond and the whole bit. I thought it was cute. I kind of liked the whole date, and I thought it really kind of represented Leslie well too, because she seems like the more adventurous, like fun one. So, let's see. So then they, okay. So then it's a nighttime portion of the date, and Gary says that she hasn't asked the hard questions. Oh, that's right. This is how the episode started, with their little, you know, like teaser scene that they always do. So it starts with this scene, which is Gary saying that she hasn't asked the hard questions, and that Leslie says, when's the last time you had sex? And he laughs and says, you mean like just me by myself or with somebody? Oh Lord, again, normalize. Doesn't matter how old you are. That's a thing. That's, you know, men do that. Women do that. That's like a thing. Okay. But I don't know. There's my brain again going like, okay, la, 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 la. I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Gary. I can't hear you when you're saying that. Don't say that. But it's okay. Cause you know, just hard hearing that, which kind of cracked me up, because later in the episode, he and Teresa were kissing and he was like, okay, enough kissing. The grandkids are watching. But you know, Gary, your grandkids are watching. So maybe leave out the part about like having sex alone. Okay, moving on. Then, he says it's been a long time. She says it's been a year for her. Then they move on to different hard questions, like where they would live. And she says, like, this is a legitimate question, you know, that you don't hear on The Other Bachelor, because this exists on The Other Bachelor too. More than likely they don't live in the same spot. So where are we going to live? This is the first time I feel like we've ever heard them talk about this for the most part. And she says at the end of the day, she loves him and she thinks that they could figure it out. She kind of jokes that they could be, you know, they use the term bi-coastal, but since they're both from the Midwest, they could be like bi-Midwest, which I thought was funny. She says she doesn't want to like just move away from her family, but sounded like she'd be open to like having homes in both places and going back and forth and whatever, which seems like that's probably like the logical thing to do. So, you know, this is where Faith, when she had her talk with him, sort of kind of said, I'm not willing to move. And which is still kind of why I'm wondering if that's why he sent her home. Because also what he told Faith is ironically what Leslie said to him, because, which is, I think we would just figure it out. And that's exactly what Gary told Faith. And this is what Leslie told him. I think we would just figure it out because I love you. And I just think that's what you do when you love each other and, you know, can't live without each other. So he says that it's death till us do us part. And whenever they get, you know, if they get married, and it makes her cry because she says she's never had that with either of the guys. Like apparently just didn't have that stability with her other two husbands. He gives her the fantasy suite card, and she quickly says yes to that. Then they sort of talk about, like, you hear that it's like ITMs. You don't see this on face, but they're stressing in this part that, you know, this is where they are intimate, but that despite them having these talks about sex specifically, that intimacy still is more than sex. It's all the things that lead up to it. It's like really knowing each other deeply, and all of these things. So they stress that in this part as well, which is good. Gary tells Leslie about how Trista Sutter told him, think about it like this. You want the person, not just who you can live with, but who you can't live without. And he tells Leslie that she's the one he can't live without. So, you know, I'm sorry, Gary, but you're putting out mixed signals here for us people watching it, because you really, really made it seem like in this fantasy suite that Leslie is the one, because you said you can't live without her. So, okay, I'm going to take that as a big, like, green flag there, Gary. Now, this was really funny. Here we go back to the sex thing again, but this was very comical, and I loved it. So it was just us looking at the house, you know, like, so it was the end of the segment, and they were like, you know, had finished the whole thing, and we're just looking at the house. We hear Gary say, God, it's hot in here. He goes, let me check the thermostat. And he went over and he goes, oh my gosh, it's set at 80. And she was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, wow, that is hot. And he says, what do you like it at? What do you like, about 70? And she said, I like 69. And then they both laugh and giggle. And I laughed and giggled. I honestly rewound that about 3 times because I thought it was so funny. And honestly, whether it was about sex or something else, I thought that that was a very telling moment. And what I meant at the beginning when I said that I feel like Gary feels the most comfortable with Leslie, and that she maybe like challenging is, I know, not the right word, but like, I don't know, just a little bit more edgy. And maybe it feels like Gary kind of likes that. Like, maybe he's never had that edginess before. And Teresa's not really edgy, I wouldn't say. And that's why he called her safe. And so maybe he wants something different to like live out his years. So again, I'm just really hoping it's Leslie. Okay, so segment 4 is the next morning. Jerry says that people want to know, this was also comical, people want to know what happens in these fantasy suites. And he says, frankly, it's none of their bleeping business. So it's none of their effing business what goes on the fantasy suites. And kudos, Gary. It really is none of our business. We want to know, but actually in this situation, I don't think I do want to know. I'm just going to say it, just going to admit it. He tells her he'll miss her until he sees her again when he leaves. And then he talks about how, then Leslie talks about in ITM about how it's really a weird and awkward but in hard position to be in, because she talks about how Teresa, she really likes Teresa and she's her friend, but it's hard knowing that Gary is going to like be with her all day today. And, but she's just going to focus on like what they have. So it's Teresa's date now. And she, again, does the very freaking awkward hoo-joo that I don't want to see anymore. Actually, I'd rather hear them talk about sex the entire show than watch them do another hoo-joo. So that's where I stand on that. They go horseback riding and we get this whole setting where they're horseback riding and they're really setting the stage. This is the part that makes me nervous, although they kind of retract from it after this, but it was the part that made me nervous about whether they're setting it up for us to think it's Leslie, but it actually still will be Teresa, because in this segment, they're horseback riding. Teresa's talking about how Gary is really quiet during the whole horseback ride. And like during this whole daytime portion, even when they sit down and talk, she kind of asks him if it's okay because she's noticed that he's quiet. We have Gary ITMing about how he feels really bad because he's on this great date with Teresa and she's this wonderful woman, but how he can't seem to stop thinking about what Leslie's doing at the moment. At which point, even though I have nothing against Teresa, but at this point I'm kind of like, woohoo, yay, I'm glad he's, you know, he's thinking about Leslie. But, you know, you're kind of suspecting that probably this is going to turn around. And, and sure enough, then we're at the nighttime portion and he ITMs that he just feels like they're not moving forward and covering new ground. Or no, he, I think he says this to, I can't remember if he said this actually to Teresa. Then they talk about her career. He says, I don't specifically know what you do as a career. And they talk about that. Here's where it's really, Teresa's really impressive, because I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but I guess she's a stock trader. And I like, this is the last career. I guess I did remember this, but this is honestly the last career and field that I would picture Teresa being in, just because of her like kind of ditzy-ish nature. And maybe it's because she reminds me so much of Esther, and Esther's like a housekeeper. Not that I think she's a housekeeper or that there's anything wrong with housekeepers, but I just feel like Teresa is like a teacher or like a nurse or like a, I don't know, that does something like a counselor. I don't know. She does not seem like a stock trader. Like, I feel like that is what Leslie seems like. I don't know. That does not fit her personality whatsoever, but it's impressive. Like, it's super impressive. And apparently, like, she just started day trading whenever, like, she raised her children, didn't really, this is how I understood it. When she was married before, because her husband also died, which is kind of what they talk about and Gary talks about, is like they have that in common. So like, she raised her family, her husband didn't really want her to work, but like later in life, she became a day trader and just kind of did it for fun. And then apparently after her husband died, she like pursued like doing that more for like a living. And she applied for this job and was up against like whatever it was, 12 other like college grads. And she ended up getting the position and still does it now. So really like super impressive. She's 70 years old. He tells her that he really thinks she has her shit together. And then he asks about how she signed up for the show even then. And she says her daughter signed her up and she, you know, figured, well, why not? Because, you know, I've dated before, but just never really went anywhere. And talks about how she feels like maybe it was just all sort of like meant to be in like God's plan, so to speak, that she, you know, ended up here because Gary is the one that she should be with, you know, whatever. So she accepts a fantasy suite card and the invitation, obviously, too. And they don't really talk about sex at all. So then they come back, it's the next morning. And Teresa says it was like, they say, she's saying to him, it was really eye opening and now it feels so different now. And Gary says that now they understand each other on a very fundamental level. He says all his trepidation about her that he had sort of like in that first like daytime portion of their date, it was gone. You know, we don't know what they talked about. Obviously, we don't know what brought them to this conclusion specifically. Obviously, they don't tell us in detail, A, either because we don't have time, or B, it would give away too much in like who he picks. I don't know. But they really make it clear that they made progress. And again, they don't really talk about sex in any sort of way at all, like that he did with Leslie. Apparently he did tell her he loved her that night. And again, he kind of tells her when he leaves, I think when he leaves in the morning, but he has like proclaimed that to her now. And this is where, he walks her out. And I just made a note here. Like, what is she wearing? It was very strange. Kudos that she's 70 and can like wear this and pull it off and look good, but I don't know what it was. It looked like she just had her underwear on with a little like tight camisole. It almost looked like it would be like a swimming suit. It almost looked like a swimming suit a little bit, only a little bit baggier in the like bodice area. But the short, like, I think they were just like spandexy kind of shorts maybe, but they were really short. They weren't shorts. They were more like a swimming suit level. Do you know what I mean? Like cheeky underwear kind of. I don't know. It was a very strange outfit. I don't know what it was. And it seemed like a very odd choice to wear outside on camera to walk him out. Like, I don't know. It was just very weird. I didn't really care for it, to be honest. I don't care what age you were. It just seemed like freaking a weird thing to wear. Gary says then that like he's dying inside because he can see a life with both of them. He says as hard what he says, this was very Frankenbitten. I thought it was not on face, and I don't really know the purpose of Franken biting it together, except that they just wanted to have him say it, but he never really said these words in real life. But he says, as hard as it is, I think I made my decision, is what he says at the very end of the show. But again, it was very Frankenbitten. It wasn't on face. It just like showed him walking around and thinking and everything. So I don't know what that will mean for us. And I actually don't know. What would be amazing is if next week it's the finale. I don't know that they've announced this. If they have, I've missed it. But what would be great is if the Golden Bachelor would be 2 hours, in 2 weeks, and they only made Bachelor in Paradise 1 hour. That would be fantastic. I think everybody in America that watches this show would much prefer that. So please, producers, do that. The tag was really cute. Again, it was with Leslie. And again, this is why I like him with her. It was like the next morning. And he said, you know, what really endeared me, that you did yesterday. It was when I was putting my swimming trunks on and you sort of like put your hand out for me to like hang on to it while I did that. And she was like, well, actually it wasn't your swimming trunks. It was your, what do you call it? I'm totally ruining it now. The brace thing. What do you call that? When they went rappelling, like when he was putting that it's not a holster. What is it called? Anyway, she was putting that thing on, whatever. It wasn't your swimming trunks, because that would have meant that you were like naked and you were putting your swimming trunks on. And he was like, yeah, that's true. That's right. That it was the brace. That's not it either. It was not my swimming trunks. And he goes, and by the way, thanks for stealing that whole little moment for me. Totally not funny, because I just ruined it because I can't think of the name of that thing. But that was cute, funny, love them. Can't wait till the finale. Hope it's Leslie. I don't know. I'm still worried it's Teresa, but please let it be Leslie. All right. Now we are going to, I'm going to stop. We're at half an hour and I am, be right back. Okay, so we're on to my favorite show, Bachelor in Paradise. All right. Everybody knows how I feel about this show, so let's just get started. Okay, we're reminded that we left off where Michael going to ask Livia on the date? He does. They go on their date. So it's like, whatever. Actually, there was this funny part where Olivia jumps right into the fact that she's like convinced that she's going to be engaged to Michael, that he's this good looking guy, blah, 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 going on and on and on about him. And the producer, this is an ITM, and the producer says, "What is his name again?" And she was like, what's his name? I don't remember. She said it was really loud and the waves were crashing and I didn't really hear when he said what his name was. And then she's like asking the producer, what's his name again? Which was actually kind of funny, but also goes to prove that, and there was, I think, an instance later where she does the same thing. Like she forgets like the names of people. So it feels like her dramaticness in her ITMs is a little bit forced by her and producers and is not really a thing, because like she's just putting on a show basically for us and being the colorful narrator, and that was kind of her choice to be that in this show, and she's, I guess, doing a good job. But yeah, so they go on this date, they have a good time, they dance and whatever, and then they have this little scene where they go from Olivia and Michael to then John Henry and Kat together, like going back and forth, you know, them each sort of being happy with their couple, whatever. We get another, you know, this is just a bad thing that they do, this filler thing of the recaps. I've sort of gone off on this tangent again, and I just think it's crazy and silly because we don't need another recap. We get it. We're watching the show. Okay. Like probably not many of us are watching it, but those of us that are watching the show, we're not stupid. We really aren't. We can figure it out. Even if we haven't watched for a couple weeks, we can figure it out by just watching the show. If you just show us the couples, we'll figure it out. Like stop it. Oh Lord. Rachel is talking to Blake. She talks to him about like not knowing where her and Tanner stand. And this cues Jordan and Taylor coming down the steps to enter paradise, which who? It's so stupid. Like, I don't know who these people are. Why are you bringing us these night one and night tours coming down? We don't have any investment with them. We have no idea, especially when you bring them down at the end. Like, we already don't care about anyone that comes down at the end. Well, I guess that's the best place to waste them, is at the end anyway, because we already don't care who comes down. But we get them coming down. Jordan is I do remember this date because it was the date where Rachel went on the date with Jordan. He's the race car driver. He shows her the race car that he drives in, which is kind of like a drag race, drag car thing. She sent him home on that one-on-one date. That's kind of what he's known for. But, you know, probably most people barely remember that. Taylor, we have no clue who Taylor is. He literally got no screen time. No one knows who he is. He asks freaking awkward as shit when he comes down the steps. It's so stupid. They go down, don't have date cards or anything, but yet they come down, they awkwardly pull people. And I just don't understand. This part is so confusing to me. Why two people? Like there was no significance in that whatsoever. They were on different seasons. Taylor was on Charity season. Jordan was on Rachel's. They're not even like from the same season and like good buddies or anything. Why two people? This was so freaking weird and confusing. Let's see. Oh, and then this is the other part where they did this funny thing with Olivia. She was like announcing in her ITM, like it was like, you could tell the producer's like, okay, like we want you to tell everyone watching who's coming down. And she was like, so then we have, Jordan and then she kind of looks forward and like whispers to the producer, who's the other guy? And you can hear them say it's Taylor. And she goes, we have Jordan and Taylor coming down, you know, like, Jordan pulls Rachel, Taylor pulls Kat. Everyone's kind of like, oh, that's kind of cute because like, not everyone, but they're like, oh, you know, Rachel and him, that's like her ex, which like barely for like a 10 minute ex. Then Taylor pulls Mercedes and Jordan, like he, how did this work? Oh, like they pulled people, then somebody else, I think it was Peter, Pilot Pete came up, and he was the one that had the date card and says, oh, we have a date card, and announces that Jordan gets the date card. So he picks Rachel to get the date. It was so confusing. It was made absolute zero sense. The way they sort of cut this and edited it together, it just was the most confusing thing ever. We don't know who these two people are. There's two of them. They come down. They pull random people. They're acting awkward. They don't actually have date cards, but they get a date card from Pete. It was just a freaking mess. So dumb. Rachel and Jordan do this tantric yoga. That's their date. Whatever. It goes well. They kiss. A wave slams into them, which is like funny, but okay, whatever. Then we finally get footage of Kylie and Avon, who is like probably the couple that will get engaged on the beach this time around for sure. So we finally get people that are actually successful, that their relationship's actually going somewhere. It's not being challenged. They really like each other. So we finally get footage of them, which we haven't seen in a long time. So then we see Rachel coming back from her date with Jordan. She goes and talks to Tanner. And this is like where Tanner's like, I guess she assumed that Tanner gave her the rose on the last show as like a friendship rose, like that he wasn't really into her. And so instead of just asking him that, she just assumes it and like has these walls up and isn't really being clear with him. Then obviously she goes to the bar and talks to Wells, and Wells is the one that makes her see it. I mean, how old are these people? Well, she's only 27, so maybe that explains it. But really, like, it's so different than Golden Bachelor. Like, own your stuff and just be open and honest and talk about stuff. Communicate. Like, what are you doing? So then she goes to talk to Tanner again, and Tanner kind of, I don't know, this was also edited very weird because it was like they were talking in code almost. But like the code basically was Tanner telling her that he was really interested in her and her being like, oh, I just really didn't realize that. And then they kissed and I don't know. It was just weird. But okay, so now we're not sure. Are they going to be together or not? I don't know. Then Aaron asks Eliza to be his girlfriend. I guess that could be the other engagement we see. Then we get the stupid truth box comes back again. And we learn in the truth, like to me, totally producers are writing these truths that are in this truth box. It has nothing to do with anyone on the beach. No one's writing those except the producers. And it's only to start shit or to create storylines or whatever. 100% is what I think this is. We get one that says something like, Tyler's really not into Mercedes and he should admit that as the truth because they're together. And so Mercedes, like Tyler laughs about it. Mercedes is like, okay, this is awkward. And clearly that's where the narrative is going to go for this show. Get the next segment. This is kind of entertaining. Kat's leading a yoga session, you know, with a thong bikini bottom on in front of them, like bending over and the whole thing. That's interesting. And then randomly Brayden brings up another date card. Brayden does, just out of the blue. And it's a double date and Avon and Peter get the date card. So obviously Avon asks Kylie and Peter's with Sam now, the Canadian girl, and they go on this date and it was a fun date to watch. It was just like a fun date. They danced, they were goofy. They did competitions. It was like silly filler, which was fine because again, at least we got some footage of like some successful stories going on here. It's not drama. It was a fun thing to watch, blah, 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 blah. But again, it was just like, I'm frustrated. Okay. Then when we come back from the commercial here, we get Mercedes and her burping skills. We get Jess trying to throw a frisbee to Blake and she cannot throw a frisbee. This was actually funny to watch as well. And I got a really big kick out of it. It was funny. This I didn't mind watching. This was okay. But we get, of course, footage of Blake and Jess and like people talking, people talking about how cute they are. Hey, I could have just showed my burping skills there. Wow. Well, opportunity lost. Which cues us that, of course, we know this means that Katie's going to walk down the steps because we all know she's still coming. Yep. Here comes Katie down the steps. Okay. I'm just going to like very quickly sum this whole thing up and not go through every single detail and just why I despised it. Again, it seemed like they only brought her. Well, at least she served a function as to kind of host like a date kind of in the end. But it again was to start drama. All three times they brought down bachelorettes from the past. First of all, they keep negating Rachel and her significance as a bachelor. She was a bachelorette too, but they bring down these bachelorettes, make it seem like it's this big ass deal. But of course, when Katie comes in, everybody is kind of like, oh, you know, okay, this, it was more of a big deal because it's Blake's ex. Okay. But of course they choose Katie. They make it seem, it was so stupid when she came down the steps. Cause again, Jesse made it seem like he was so shocked to see her. Oh, where did we see you last? Okay. We all know her social media. We all know what happened. She broke up with Blake, immediately starts dating this John guy who was like a night oneer on her season. And we know that there was total suspicion that she was having a thing with him before she broke up with Blake. She denied that till the end. It was what it was, but there was, it was like a whole thing, like a whole social media thing. And at least at this point in the show, we're made to believe that like, oh yeah, you know, I picked Blake and it just didn't work out. And I thought, and then they make it seem like he tells her to go join them on the beach. And she was like, oh yeah, I kind of figured Blake was here. What? I mean, shut up. How stupid do you think that we are when we watch this? You think that you really want us to believe that Katie went to the producers and said, I would like to be on this season Bachelorette. Bachelor Paradise, is Blake going to be on? We can tell you he is. Okay. I want this opportunity, not to do it in private, not to do it on our own time, but I want this opportunity to do it in front of all of Bachelor Nation to come on and to have closure with Blake on the beach in front of everybody, ruin it if he has anything. Come on. Why do you? Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm getting mad about this because it's so dumb. How do you as producers have us watching Golden Bachelor and being so real and not treating us as the audience like freaking idiots, actually treating us like you value us and want to show us a good product, and then turn around and show us something so stupid like you think we're absolute total idiots when we show us this part? Like, you actually think that we believe this is all by chance and that it was Katie's choice to come to the, so stupid. Okay. So first of all, that was drove me nuts. Then she comes up, makes it seem like she's going to be there to date. We know she's not going to be there. She just got off of F Boy Island, the show. I don't know how that ended. I don't even know about that show, but she was on a different like reality dating show, whatever, doesn't matter. So she comes up, makes people believe that she's there to date, pulls Blake, and then they have this whole conversation where she makes it seem like she regrets everything that she did, that she feels really bad about how it all went down, you know, that they talk about these stupid voice memos that she left him because they broke up over the phone. Apparently they haven't seen each other. Didn't even see each other when they broke up over the phone. She sent him voice notes, how he didn't even listen to the voice notes until later because he was so upset. I think he said he never even listened to him. She tells him what it said, what they said, how she regrets how it all was, how she's really happy to see him. We almost are led to believe she's wanting to get back with him. I don't know what parts of this conversation we missed. He seems very, very confused. He's like somewhat welcoming to her, but that yet super confused, obviously also not happy with her. It's just like this whole confusing moment. Then it just ends and they like hug and they like walk off in different directions. But then they like come back together. Like, what did you do in that in between time. This was so edited, so freaking stupid and weird and confusing. Again, they come back together then, come up to everyone else. Blake sits down and then she's like, okay, I'm just like letting you know that I'm not actually here to date on the beach. And then she kind of does a couple of comedic lines where in the background we hear like the drum thing, like, but a bum, you know, when she makes like some funny comment. I don't even remember what they were. One was about Blake. One was about, I don't even remember because I was so annoyed by this point. What this is an intro to is the fact that she's going to be because if you don't know this, she's like, has this career now as a stand-up comedian. Like, sorry, I'm just not a Katie fan. Never have been a Katie fan. I haven't heard her stand up, but I'm not sure that I would think it's funny because like she had some good roasts. Yes. But like, I don't know. She just annoys me so much. I just did not like this part. So they all go off and write roasts about each other. Again, gonna start drama. Can already see it coming. So obvious. I mean, why would you stop now? Why would you bring back another bachelorette and not start drama? Sure enough, not gonna go through all the roasts, but she like, then they all write their roasts and then they gather together. And it's, I guess they're supposed to be like judges. Wells and Jesse and Katie sit at this table like they're judges. What are they judging? And she starts the whole thing by saying this row. Apparently they called Jess, who is with Blake, as a reminder, baby Jess, because she's so young. And she makes some kind of roast like, it's ironic that they call you baby Jess because Blake always wanted me to call him daddy when we were together. And which is like, wow. That's a roast, but holy crap. Talk about starting low blows right at the beginning. Like, ouch. Whoa. And then I think she makes a roast about Kat. Let me look. I put something in here. Okay, let's see. I did make another note that I did not miss this about Katie. She does this weird thing with her like hello. And I remember talking about it during her season. She's always like, hello. Hello. Every time. And she did it like 15 times during just this episode. She did it when she came up the steps. Hello, everybody. It's like, ooh, it just annoys me. And I remembered it as soon as I heard it. And I wanted to close my ears. Anyway, she had another roast. I didn't write down what it was. But anyway, so then everyone gets up and they start their roasts on each other. And they weren't really funny. They were just like low blows. Roasts are supposed to sort of be funny. These were just like low blows to me. They weren't funny. They were just mean. At least that's how I felt about it. And maybe that's because that's how they want me to think about it. But they were just like digs on people. They weren't actually funny. Everyone gets offended. Everyone's pissed off by the time this is over. I mean, and it's very like they're ITMing about it. Everyone's talking about it. There's people crying. There's people upset. There's people like it did not go over well. Gee, that's a surprise, producers, as if this isn't what they planned from the beginning, because they think that's what makes this interesting for us. We have the Golden Bachelor. No drama. One sliver of drama between Teresa and Kathy. That was funny drama. We loved it. This show, you massively create all this drama. Like, why? What is the point? I thought they're supposed to find love. I thought this was a show where you find love, but you just throw these like supposed to be iconic bachelorettes in here only to start drama with everybody. It's gross. I can't stand it. Whatever, they show it, they end it where Jess, okay, so then we cut to, I guess, what's supposed to be the next day. Skip the whole next day. Just jump to that night that's like the rose ceremony. And it's the guys that have the rose. No, the girls have the roses now. Jesse asks Blake about seeing Katie and whatever. And in front of everybody. And Blake says it's the closure he needed. Like, and I guess just like Katie just leaves then. She's just gone after that roast. She just leaves because they don't need me anymore. So he's like, okay, we'll see you at the rose ceremony later, Jesse says. So now it's like their time to talk and everything. And Blake pulls Jess, and it was clear that he was nervous about something. The previews show us, I mean, what my guess is we're supposed to think that Avon's leaving because they show Kylie running up the steps because someone's leaving in a car and Kylie's running up the steps. But I'm assuming that Blake's going to have a talk with Jess, say that he's, again, he's probably going to address she is very young, really likes her, but is not ready to start something with her, which obviously he's not, and just wants to leave because he probably just got screwed the hell over by the producers because Katie shows up and he was like mortified, which I don't blame him, which, and we won't see this part. I'm just saying that that's probably what he's thinking. Like, F you people, you have me come on this beach and then you make her show up. So he's probably pissed and confused and is just going to leave. I'm anxious to see what angle we see of that, because that's really what I think. He's going to leave. We see Kylie running up the steps because there were some, they showed Kylie in an ITM showing that she was really worried about Blake because Katie was there. And I think that they just really formed a great friendship and she's worried about him. So she goes and chases him. That's why we see that. We see people crying. It's a whole thing. I don't, whatever. That was the end. And now we're done talking about it. Hallelujah. So, you know, at this point, I could care less who, because they have me invested, not invested in anybody. They've barely shown me the couples and made me love the couples that are together. I don't need two more weeks of this show by any means. They could have just ended it, but we are. Okay, that's my recap. You're welcome. I guess you get the advantage of whenever I'm talking by myself, I just go off on my tangents and I'm done and it's done. And you don't have to hear other tangents as well. And I make the podcast less than an hour. So it's quick, right? So you're welcome. You know, you have to have some of that. As I said, I don't know exactly what the, like, these open weeks will be the rest of the year, but I'll try to like keep you up or give you a heads up on my social media, on my Instagram account. Please go give me a follow on my Instagram account. I would love that. Again, all the same things. If you would please go like rate and review where you can, whatever platform you listen on, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever. Really appreciate it. All the things, those really, really help me. Tell your friends if they like The Bachelor, you know, if they want a new podcast to listen to, I would so much appreciate the listens and the follows and all that stuff. Give me some input, go on my podcast, Instagram page and like DM me, like all the things. I would love all of that. To end the podcast, as usual, my Bible verse this time is Galatians 6 verse 9. And it is, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So I love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I will talk to you next time. Have a great, fantastic week and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye.